It's Brian Noonan for Nick D on 720 WGN. Nick on vacation a couple more days. He'll be back in Monday morning. No fear. So I get to spend some time with you today and tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that. All right, we are going to talk TV. What are you watching in the new fall season? 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. We haven't talked TV in a while. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you weren't here, that TV is my one vice. And it really is. And now I've also gotten into it. I know I'm very late to the party on this, but I started getting into Netflix like in the spring and over the summer. So I binged watched Daredevil and, what was the other one? The other Marvel one with Jessica Jones. And so now I got to get into Luke Cage. And then we go on Netflix to watch Longmire, which used to be on A&E. And so that's on Netflix. So I've got now, not only do I have all the stuff on my regular Dish stuff, now I've got streaming shows that I have to watch. So TV has become almost too much to handle. It is truly for me an addiction, because growing up I loved watching television. I've been on television a couple times, and it just, I love it. But I'm finding, and maybe you are too, that with each new season I'm having trouble bringing new shows into the fold, because I've got all my returning shows that I'm recording that I want to watch. Pardon me. And then I try to make room in the schedule to bring some new ones in, you know, because you see the previews as they're coming and you read, you know, Entertainment Weekly or TV Guide or whatever trade publication you read, whatever blog you read on the, you listen to, who's the guy? You guys have a great TV guy.
Dan Feinberg
comes on Nick's show and he talks about TV. So it's hard to squeeze some new ones in, but we'll go through now. A bunch of new shows premiered, as they do every year. Some come out of the gate strong and then fade. Some take a little longer, and the networks usually don't give shows a whole lot of time to catch on, even if good ones. So just a couple of the biggest premiere this season was for CBS. CBS did pretty well. Their premiere for Bull, which is about a guy who I believe is a jury consultant, right? Is that what you call him?
Yes.
So he's a good-looking guy with glasses. He was on some other show, I guess.
NCIS,
which another show. All these, like CBS, I haven't seen any of these shows that have been on for decades. I haven't seen any of the NCISs. I never watched any of the CSIs. I just didn't have time for them. It's not that I thought they were bad. They didn't fit in. I didn't have time. So that premiered with 15.6 million. That had the biggest premiere of the fall. Followed by a show that is getting just trashed in the ratings, but people are watching it, Kevin Can Wait. It's so bad that John Oliver even name-checked it as a slam Sunday on his show. That premiered with 11 million people. And I like Kevin James. I never watched King of Queens in its first run. I watched it in syndication, like if I was on the road or something, and it was on. It was okay, you know, not a bad sitcom, pretty basic sitcom. Kevin James, a likable guy, likable character.
Did I ever tell you about the times I attended Mass with Kevin James?
No.
Yes.
But you're going to now.
Yeah. So back in the day when Steve and Johnny ended at 5 and before we posted podcasts, and before I was a father and married, occasionally I would walk over to the old Holy Name Cathedral at 6 a.m. for Mass if I couldn't go on the weekend. They have a 6 a.m. weekday Mass. So I stroll in one day, and I'm, you know, minding my own business. And there's a usual group of about like 30 people, but everybody's kind of spaced out and among the pews and things like that. And minding my own business, listening. And then all of a sudden, I kind of just glance to the right, and there's Kevin James, two rows from the front.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not.
In Holy Name Cathedral at 6 a.m. Mass.
So this was back when The Dilemma was filming in Chicago.
Dilemma.
It was him and Vince Vaughn and Ron. Not a very particularly good movie, but he was in town. And so...
All his prayers for a good movie did not pay off. God was busy that day.
Yeah. So you know, there he is. And, you know, like, I started scanning the room, and, like, you could tell there was a couple people who recognized him and a couple people who didn't, you know.
Yeah.
And then the sign of peace comes up, and, you know, everybody's far enough away that nobody shakes hands, but everybody kind of waves. So he waves at everybody. But my favorite part of the story is that, you know, by the time everybody like walks over to this center aisle to get Holy Communion, the priest recognized him, And by the time the priest got to me, he still had a big smile on his face because he totally knew who he was.
It's a brush with greatness.
It was a brush with greatness. So, and then Mass ended, and he strolled off into the sunset.
He went in peace.
Yeah, the sun, not the sunset, but sunrise. Yeah.
Wow. With divine inspiration.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Again, did not work for the script.
Nope.
That's too bad. Well, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat, huh?
It's nice. Yeah. No, that is real nice. I don't know. I don't know what it tells me about him, but it tells me something about him. You know, that's pretty cool. So, well, listen, good luck to him on the new show, Kevin Can Wait. Premiered with 11 million viewers. Then it was MacGyver. And MacGyver's got to be one of the first shows canceled. I think it premiered with 10.9 million viewers, and I think that was cut in half by week two. Who thought this was a good idea? At some point, the people in Hollywood are lazy. Because you give the same people shows, and you're rehashing old shows that weren't really good back in the day. MacGyver was a punchline back in the day. You know? Then it became MacGruber. Now it's back with MacGyver. I have no idea who's even in it. Lucas Till is MacGyver. Some awful dialogue. So that, according to one reviewer who I've printed out. So that was added. What else in the top five for premieres? There was This Is Us. Oh, we'll get into that. That's one of the ones that have made the cut in the Noonan House. That's a new one. And my wife doesn't want to watch it with me. I think because she gets an ugly face when she cries. And I think there's a lot of tear jerking going on in that show. And then Designated Survivor premiered in fifth place with 10 million viewers. That's another one that's made the cut. What is making the cut at your house? 312-981-7200. Your surprises of the fall season and shows that you gave a try and already you're like, no, we're going to get those off the queue right away. Jill's in Milwaukee. She wants to jump on. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Brian. Long time no talk.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Good.
On Amazon the other day, you know, you're going through your stuff, and they advertise this American Housewife.
Yeah.
You don't hear Housewife much anymore. And so it looked cute, and the actress is so familiar.
Like, yeah, Katie Mixon is her name. She's been on a lot of shows.
Right. She's very funny. And then they also have the guy who was on Drew Carey's show, the guy with the dark curly hair. He's very funny.
Diedrich Bader, I think his name is.
Right, right. And it's just really a nice comedy, funny, you know, topical. The kids are interesting. The one kid, the boy, he's like a callback. He's kind of like Alex P. Keaton.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very cute, entertaining. You know, like I said, you're very current with the humor.
Okay.
Other than that, I haven't tried anything new. I've heard that Designated Survivor is very good, though.
It is very good. It is very good. I'll talk about that in a second. And that the one you're talking about, American Housewife, I've seen good reviews and bad reviews. And I haven't watched the show yet, so I can't pass judgment. I just know that some people are saying it's really good and it gets better as the season goes on, some of the critics, and other ones are saying, no, it's just, you know.
I liked it from the get-go, like the first scene. I think it may be more of a woman's show, more relatable to women.
All right.
But I thought it was very cute.
Well, listen, Jill, I like to be in touch with my feminine side, so maybe I'll give it a watch. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jill.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I don't know. I'm sure the executives are like, oh, no, we wanted to appeal to everybody. No, probably not. Now, I like that Katie Mixon. She, like I said, she was in Eastbound and Down. She was in the Christina Applegate show where they both played waitresses. She's been in a ton of stuff.
I want to say she was on Mike and Molly, too.
I never saw an episode of Mike and Molly.
Yeah, I've watched like 10-minute bits and pieces here when I was like tuning into other shows, but never watched a full episode.
It's amazing to me, for as much TV as I watch, and I don't know if I've made it clear, I watch way too much TV. But like that, Mike and Molly, Two Broke Girls, all these shows that have been on forever, and I've never seen them. I never watched an episode of Big Bang Theory in its first run. Again, I've seen it on like TBS and stuff if I'm in a hotel. But that show I think's been on since 67.
about that.
It's been on very, very long. Yeah, so American Housewife getting a lot of mixed reviews, but this Designated Survivor show. And I don't like it just because my glasses look like Kiefer Sutherland's glasses, or his glasses look like my glasses.
They do. Wow. They do.
I am the Designated Survivor here at GN. That's why they keep me in this room up here, in case everything goes bad.
Right.
I'm the guy. But it also means that I'm the guy they want around the least, because the Designated Survivor turns out to be the guy who was basically fired that day. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to draw that comparison. But anyway, so that's the it's a real thing, the Designated Survivor. And if you haven't seen the show, it's really good. And I'm a Kiefer Sutherland fan from 24, of course. I didn't watch his show on Fox. But my wife is troubled by the – have you seen the show, Dan?
I have, yes.
Are you watching
it? It has also made the cut. I think we are two episodes in. We're a week behind, I believe.
My wife is very upset, because she likes her Kiefer Sutherland in the Jack Bauer tough guy mentality.
That was the same comment by my wife.
Wow. And see, it didn't matter to me. I don't know if did it matter to you.
No, I was like, this is more in character with what the character probably is.
Exactly. But maybe the ladies only want a badass Kiefer.
They do.
They don't want.
They married the nice guy and now are pining after the badass.
Right. And they want to watch Kiefer, you know, torture terrorists and blow things up and say, damn it, Chloe. They want that. And we watched a movie, like a straight-to-cable movie that Kiefer was in, a Western, where he was this gunfighter. It was actually pretty good if you like Westerns. Donald Sutherland was in it as well. But at one point in the movie, and I don't think this is spoiling it, he's one of those gunfighters who's hanging up his guns. And so, but guys are pushing him, you know, and what, you know, at some point, he's strapping the guns back on. But at one point, Kiefer takes a beat down. And my wife was livid. Livid. I don't like to watch him in these sissy roles. That's actually how she said it. I don't want to watch him in these sissy roles. I said, you know he's acting, right? He's not really this cowboy. Well, I don't like it. I want to see him as Jack Bauer. So that's her only complaint about Designated Survivor. So I'm hoping at some point Kiefer throat punches somebody, or, you know, shouts out some, you know, hard directive at a general, you know. But I think as the conspiracy unfolds, we're going to see some more of that.
My wife was very happy when he confronted the ambassador to Iran.
Yes.
And he started showing off a little bit.
Right.
She's just like, there he is.
All right. Now we have a small sample size, two ladies who think the same way. Ladies, if you're out there, and I know the ladies are out there, but if you're out there and you watch this show, are you feeling the same way? Or is there another character that you identify so much in a previous part that you can't stand to see them as anything else? They're always going to be this character for you. Like for my wife, and it sounds like for Eileen as well, Kiefer is always going to be Jack Bauer. And God forbid he shows any sensitivity in any other role, things are going to get dicey. All right, we'll get to some more of the fall TV preview. I want to know what you're watching, what you're enjoying, and what you've already given up on. And we also will tell you the most watched show in each state. Yep, I've decided all 50. Going through all 50, Dan. Block out some time, because I'm going to read it real slow here on WGN. Brian Noonan on WGN. We are talking fall TV and what you're liking, what you're not, and we've got the list of the most watched TV shows in every state, so we'll get to that momentarily as I try to figure out why I'm only hearing things again. But text coming in from the 312, of the new shows, I'm enjoying the Fox program Pitch about the female pitcher that makes it all the way to the San Diego Padres. I'm also enjoying Designated Survivor, but I'm afraid it's going to start getting bogged down the way Quantico did for me last season. Now, Quantico is another one that I haven't seen, except for like the final 3 minutes when I'm watching something else and then I turn on Channel 7 to watch the news on Sunday night. So it's like, oh, okay. Or whatever night I think Quantico's on Sunday.
It is now, yes.
It is now. I don't know. And Pitch, now, Pitch is one that I think Nick really likes, because I think I saw him post something about that.
Right. He is. He enjoys the show, and he's a big fan of Mark Paul Gosselaar, best known as Zach from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, best known as Zach. I remember him well from NYPD Blue. That's where I go with a more adult Mark Paul Gosselaar. But that's just me, you know, because he was in the final seasons of NYPD Blue. So that is that. So I don't know. I haven't watched Pitch. Have you watched Pitch?
I have not seen it yet, but I That's one of those ones I think I'll come around to.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I go again. I've got one reviewer's things here. This reviewer did not like it. Said it's like Bull Durham. Everything that happens is incredibly predictable. I don't know.
It's a sports TV show.
Yeah, what do you expect?
It's like watching
Rudy and going, I don't. I wasn't surprised at all by the end.
Why?
Really?
Why was he carried off the field? Well, it's a sports movie.
Yeah, duh, because that's what happens. Brian, maybe you're like me from the 773. I can't understand why, but I can't seem to get interested in 30-minute shows. There's a number of 30-minute comedies that we record, mostly ABC, I think. And then this last week tonight with John Oliver. And those we use, and this is horrible, but those we use as background at dinner. Because you can, like nice. The Goldbergs. The Goldbergs is very funny. But I don't need to, you know, block out time. I can watch the Goldbergs while I'm eating and while my wife and I are talking, and we get a few laughs out of the Goldbergs or Modern Family, and that's enough. There's like New Girl, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think those are really funny comedies. We still, like I said, Modern Family. The new one, Speechless. Have you watched that?
We saw an episode.
With Minnie Driver?
Yes.
I kind of like that. There's enough good laughs in there to find dinner TV watching. That's what I like.
Our favorite is Fresh Off the Boat. Have you ever seen that?
Only a few minutes of it.
Yeah.
We
were big fans of that.
See, and I came late to the Goldbergs, so I'll probably come very late to Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
They're all kind of in the same vein.
Yeah, that same vein of quirky family.
Yeah, because we graduated from the middle. Once Molly left for school, she was a big The Middle fan. That was another, you know, while something else was happening. But then when she left, The Middle kind of ran its course for us. And that's another. That's still on. I can't believe that show is still going. What's going on with that? I don't know. Linda wants to weigh in on Designated Survivor. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. Yeah, I could never stand Kiefer Sutherland. I saw him in movies a couple times when he was starting out.
Sure.
And he just didn't click. And I tried watching Jack Bauer because all my friends were saying, that's the best one.
It was the best show ever.
Could not get into it.
What?
But this new one... I like it.
You're sold on Designated Survivor.
Something. Yes. He's more mature. And last night was a very good episode.
Don't tell me I didn't see it. I don't want to hear anything about it.
Okay.
Don't spoil it.
But you and your wife will enjoy him.
Oh, okay. All right. So he strapped some on last night.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
Well, that's good without being a spoiler. I think that's fine. So my wife will enjoy it. All right, good.
Yes. But it seems like all the NCIS I really enjoy. I record those. But what aggravates me is, like last night, the first hour or two, there's really nothing on. So what do? They put two or three shows on at the same time, and you have to record them.
Yeah, well, that's
and they're both good. And on the own TV station, Oprah, that station, she's got a couple of good storylines right now. One is Sugar, and it's very good. It's a family thing to where the father dies, leaves them a farm, and the kids didn't want it, but they're going to keep doing it because it's like a family thing. And she had on another one that's on, it went off and it'll come back probably in the spring again, is with another one. It's a large family. The father started out with a small church and a storefront. Made it into a big thing, multi-$1 million.
Huh.
Very interesting.
And this is all on the O Network?
Yes. It's, if I could remember it's like in the 270s, that number on DirecTV.
Right.
You mentioned Longmire.
Longmire, yeah.
Longmire, I love that program.
I do too.
And they took it off. I'm on fixed income. I cannot afford getting these other stations or whatever.
Yeah, the streaming services, Netflix and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that program. No, I cannot see it.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's tough because a lot of shows that people really like, they don't make it on the network, and then they've got to, you know, they've got to go to that. Linda, I got to get to news, but thank you very much for the call. Have a great morning. We'll continue some TV talk. If you have any thoughts about the new season, we'll get to this list of the most watched shows in every state and some other stuff. So we've got all sorts of texts coming in. Your calls are always welcome, 312-981-7200 here on WGN. Brian Noonan for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick will be back from vacation Monday morning. I've been having a wonderful time this week. Hope you are as well. 312-981-7200. That's how you get involved in the conversation. We're talking a little TV. The fall TV season is in full swing. I'm wondering what new shows that you're liking. We're looking at some reviews of what premiered with good numbers, what some of the critics are saying about the new shows. But really, you're the ones that make the shows a hit or a failure, so we want to know. Real quick, though, just a couple of things before we get to your calls and texts. CableTV.com did a little research, and they looked at the top 200 shows on IMDb and cross-checked that with Google trends for the last year in order to see what TV shows were the most statistically relevant in each state. So, as you can imagine, Colorado, what do you think the top show watched in Colorado is, Dan? Colorado.
Something outdoorsy. How about like Survivor?
South Park, Colorado.
Well, that makes sense now.
See, now you've made me choke.
I know how much it means to you having that.
Oh,
so.
My goodness.
You know, I mean, the longevity of that show is quite amazing, all things considered.
South Park, 20 years.
Yeah.
I've lapsed for a number of years, and then somebody said, ooh, the 20th, Cody, my producer on Sunday nights, you know Cody.
I do.
Told me you got to watch the 20th season premiere. It was hilarious. So now I've been watching this season. Do my eyes deceive me as I'm looking at the Super Celebrity Hotline? Can this possibly be the man, the myth, the legend, Max Armstrong? Hi, Max.
Well, young man, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm calling the counselor and start your meter.
Yes.
And I'll go lie down on the couch.
This sounds very. Do we need some music, Max? Do we need?
Yes, it's working already because you made me laugh. You are my comedy counselor.
Oh, thank you.
And as I was listening to you, I'm struggling to think of a recent comedy that has really made me laugh. I've got a problem, doctor. I need you to help me. Did you leave? You know how demented I am. You know how crazy I am. Because
yeah.
I think like you. You make me laugh when I drive down the road.
Well,
you know,
that's very
people.
That's very
I'm
nice.
I'm serious about that. I've told you about that. I'll find myself busting out laughing as I listen to you. but there's so much forced comedy. I think on talk radio. I think I find it on television. And forced comedy doesn't work for me. I can't laugh at that. It needs to be spontaneous. Help me, doctor. Give me a comedy that's on now that I think I'll enjoy.
Well, here's the problem. If you're watching a comedy on TV, it is scripted, so it's not spontaneous. But I will tell you some of the ones that make me laugh. I really enjoy Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I didn't think I would, on Fox with Andy Samberg. It also stars Chicago and Andre Brower, who I went to high school with. That's very funny. I like the Goldbergs and Blackish on ABC. Those are, I think, are very funny. And New Girl. I always laugh at New Girl. Also on Fox.
I'm writing these down.
Yeah, it's hard because I don't like a lot of comedies either. But those ones keep my attention, and I. You know, I'm not laughing for the entire 30 minutes, but there's a good hand. There's enough laughs where I go, wow, this is worth sticking with.
I think I'm becoming a jaded old man, you know, but I still enjoy the enduring and endearing comedy of the 60s stuff like Andy Griffith, you know.
Just, yeah.
You know, that's what I grew up with, but I really struggle with watching modern comedy because it just doesn't seem like comedy. It doesn't make me laugh.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, they try to push the envelope. That's why none of these shows are really, they're basic comedies. They're family comedies or workplace comedies. So they're, you know, they're all about relationships. And thankfully, the writing on them is pretty good. So, you know, that's what makes me laugh. And I want to, you know, I want to be caught off guard sometimes, too. And that's what makes me laugh when I figure something's coming and then it goes the other way. That's what gets me.
Exactly. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But, you know, as I was listening to you guys over the past few minutes, it occurred to me I'm watching television probably the least of any time in my life.
I mean, you're very busy.
I'm a radio guy, too.
Right.
I listen to radio a lot, whether I'm, you know, in the car here or in the shed down south of the Mason-Dixon line or whatever I'm doing. You know, if I'm working outside, I've got the radio on constantly. I'm a radio guy, so that's part of it. But I'm online a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
And television just is, and I know that's a fantasy to say because I'm up at this hour to get ready to do a farm television show that Orion and I own. You know, we've recorded every week.
Sure.
But I just, I don't know. I can't watch the news because my blood pressure climbs. Yeah.
And you and me both.
Thank goodness for the Hawks and the Cubs and, you know, and college football because that's what keeps bringing me back to television, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's so much out there and so much of it is not worth your time. And when you've got a lot going on, you have to pick and choose where you're going to invest your time. And if nothing's grabbing your attention, why invest that time?
That's right.
You know?
Well, Counselor, you've helped me through this crisis. I'll check out at the desk. And, you guys accept the insurance bill.
Sure we do. And we'll validate your parking because you're a return customer. We always try to do that for our regulars.
Thank you, sir. Always great listening to you guys.
Max, it's great talking to you. I'm sure things are going very well.
Real good. Yeah, you know, I'm a grandpa.
Yes.
Linda and I are grandparents, and she keeps Miss Ellie at least 3 days of the week, sometimes four. And that kid is, every grandparent will tell you that it's going to be great when you become a grandparent, and you don't have any idea how great it's going to be.
Now, do you let her near your real dirty hats?
She does like my real dirty hats. She counts them, in fact. They're usually six or eight hanging in there as you go out of the kitchen into the mudroom, and she counts them.
Well, listen, anything that helps a kid learn and further their education is fine, whether it's counting dirty hats or whatever it is.
Well, I heard you talking about that yesterday, and you gave me some ideas, as a matter of fact. You reminded me about the importance of reading and other things. So, once again, Counselor, you've helped me.
Despite my best efforts, sometimes I do pass along good information, Max. It's frightening.
Great.
Frightening.
Take care.
Always
Take
good
care,
to talk to you, Max. Take care. Bye-bye. That's the great Max Armstrong. Unbelievable. Look at that, Dan. I think I went to put him on hold. I think I hung up on him. I apologize, Max.
Oh, that's all right.
Wow. I'm hanging up on a legend. That's nice. All right. Well, and again, now we've got some people weighing in. Let's take Jill first because she's been hanging on for a long time. And not that we're not as excited to talk to you as we were to Max, but I saw Max and I jumped to him right away.
I understand.
But welcome. We are happy to have you.
Well, I really haven't gotten into too much of the new premieres of this fall season, but I find myself watching more of MeTV and Antenna TV. And one show that I've come back to that was on when I was a kid is Barney Miller.
I loved Barney Miller. That was such a great, groundbreaking sitcom.
Well, and I was, you know, young when it came out, so I got like the basic comprehension of, you know, the basic humor of it, you know. But now, I mean, it's, when I look at it, it's like, man, that was really, it lasts the test of time, but it was, when you look at the show, it was pretty in depth.
Oh, yeah, because you had all the different ethnic groups, not playing to stereotypes, playing as real people. Mm-hmm. It was a great workplace sitcom, and it all happened in that one room. You know, sometimes they'd go into Barney's office, but mostly it was the squad room, and it was really, really good.
And the one thing I also noticed about, like, the shows, the older shows, too, it's funny how, like, I'll watch Chips or T.J. Hooker, things like that, all those fun cop shows, and, you know, they take so much longer. Like, they'll say, okay, I'm going to meet you at whatever place, and then you see the car traveling.
Yeah.
And then they cut to another scene, and they're still traveling, and then another scene's like, oh, my gosh.
The writing was not, they didn't focus as much on the script as they do now. There wasn't a lot of character development. It was, let's get these guys to somewhere where they can jump over something.
Right, so.
All right, so you're going with the old stuff, staying away from the new. All right, well, listen, whatever you enjoy, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be just something to enjoy and kill some time.
But as you said, there's a lot of shows pushing the envelope, and, you know, I've got I've got a 9-year-old. So, you know, it's one of those things where there's some shows that are okay and then some that are not.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, like, we'll watch Big Bang.
Okay.
And The Middle. But those are our go-to shows. And I've got her into The Brady Bunch and The Partridge Family.
Oh, man. She's gonna grow up thinking bell bottoms are still cool.
I know. It's a sad situation.
Now, there's worse things that can happen, Jill.
That's true.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, let's do weather traffic. Then we'll get to some more of your thoughts on the new fall TV season. We got some texts. One back in Dan up, so I know he's happy about that. He can't wait till I read that one so we can gloat just a little bit. We're talking TV for a little bit on WGN. Always gets people wound up. The most watched television show in Illinois is New Girl on Fox. You ever watch New Girl, Dan?
I have seen a few episodes.
I think that show is hilarious. I really do. The guy who plays Nick is from Chicago. The character of Schmidt never ceases to crack me up. There's something about what's her name, Zoe Deschanel, who sometimes a little too precious for me, but I like her. The whole cast seems very good. There's no weak links in the cast, so it's a nice little sitcom. It's a dinner sitcom, as my wife will say. I'm not really invested in it. So, you know, that's how we do it.
I would have never guessed that.
The New Girl was the one in Illinois?
That would be the one for Illinois. I would have expected like an hour-long procedural for some
right.
reason.
Yeah, I would, or one of the, you know, Chicago PDs or Chicago Fire, Chicago Justice or Chicago Nutbags, whatever. I don't know. There's about 1.5 million shows. Indiana likes Supergirl. Indiana watches Supergirl the most. Iowa, 2.5 Men. Because they're still back in 1993. Really? That Iowa? Come on. Get with the times, Iowa. Something new? Who else is our neighbor? Michigan watches Dexter, another show that's been off the air for a while. But good to see some of our neighbor. And our neighbor to the north, Wisconsin, the most watched show, a show that's been canceled, Castle. So we seem to be the only state that's current, which is nice. Well, Indiana, I guess, is fairly current. But once you wander off a little bit.
What about our friends to the west in Iowa?
I told you, Iowa's 2.5 Men.
Oh, I thought that was Ohio. I'm sorry.
No, that was Iowa. Iowa's 2.5 Men. Ohio, in case you were asking, is How I Met Your Mother. Mm. Another show that is not on anymore.
Yeah. The main character in How I Met Your Mother is from Ohio, so maybe that has to do with it.
Is that right?
Yep.
Which one?
Ted Mosby. Not the actual person.
Oh, the character. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. This is funny. South Carolina, they watch Vice Principals the most because that was based in South Carolina. Did you watch that show?
I have not seen it, no.
Very funny. Again, Danny McBride was the main guy, and he's always the same guy in everything. This time he was a vice principal. But Walton Goggins, who was phenomenal on both The Shield and Justified, now is doing comedy. He has the biggest teeth in show business.
He does.
He makes the Osmonds look like they have a bad dental. They look British compared to Walton Goggins when it comes to dental hygiene. His teeth are like Matt Damon's in There's Something About Mary. They're just gigantic chiclet teeth. And he's a wonderful actor. I love him. He was in Sons of Anarchy as the crossdresser. He's great. But plus, he weighs like 97 pounds. And his teeth weigh 43 of those pounds. So he's all teeth coming, gangly tooth man coming at you. But I can't stop watching him. He fascinates me. Just fascinates me. What fascinates Steve the limo driver, I wonder? Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How
good morning.
Are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about new shows. It's new to me because I never saw it when it was on originally. But the Sybil show, Sybil.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That was on a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it's from the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. And plus, as an added bonus, you have Alicia Witt on there, who I'm always a big fan.
Yeah, she grew, she matured nicely. She was on Justified as a hillbilly criminal lawyer. She was very good.
I didn't see that. I saw in The Sopranos is what when mm-hmm. when I discovered her. But yeah, it's a pretty good show. And Sybil's sidekick, Marianne, that I forget the actress's
Christine
name.
Christine Baranski, I believe it is.
Yeah. Very far. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that show was on for a while. Did very, very well. Well, I'm glad you're finally you're catching up on it, Steve.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to some radio royalty like you. So.
Are you breathing in fumes from the car? You might want to get your exhaust checked, Steve. I don't know what's going on in the limo.
Nice to talk to you. All right, have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Radio royalty, Dan. What do you think about that?
Wow.
I think I deserve a little more respect. What do you think of that?
Where do you fall in the pantheon here? Are you a king, a duke?
I'm the jester, I think.
Do have the hat.
Yeah, I do have the hat, and that's how I'm perceived by most of the rest of the ruling class, let's say. Now, Linda chimes in on Facebook, and you can always do that as well. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook. She says, I knew American Housewife was a loser. Bad script, acting not so hot either. One time was enough, so she didn't like that. Let's talk about this This Is Us, Dan. You're watching that at the house?
Yes, we are.
All right. I am watching it, too. But I struggle because I get involved with these emotional dramas. And then, you know, I'm unbalanced, let's be honest. So my emotions are close to the surface. And I don't need to be weeping in the big chair as I'm watching TV. But I liked, and I won't give it away, but the twist, in case people want to jump in and go back and watch it on demand, I think it's worth it. I think it's a good character-driven drama. The twist at the end of episode one, I literally was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice that a show actually surprised me. I didn't see the end coming. I find the characters likable or interesting. You know who I don't like? The sister's boyfriend.
Mm.
Obnoxious fat guy? I don't like him. As a former fat guy who may still be obnoxious, I'm not buying it. Especially, did you see the one where they went to the party?
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, shut up. Sit down, goofball. Come in dressing like, you know, Huggy Bear, and you're going to dance. No. I don't.
Did have a nice hat, though.
I may have to disagree with you on
that. Hat game is not strong for
him. I was not a fan of his hat game with that on some, and then the spectators, you know, drawing a little too much attention to yourself. Mm. Having lived in L.A. when I was an obnoxious fat guy, that's not how obnoxious fat guys play in L.A. Everybody in L.A. kind of plays it down. This guy's a stereotype. You know, they're making him the stereotype. So that's the character I find weak. But since it's not one of the main characters,
right.
And really, we get it. You're horny. We got you. I get it. There must not have been a lot of beats for that character. The breakdown, his character development needs to evolve a little bit. The other characters seem to have a lot of layers to them. But I'm also upset with the brother. The actor brother, because at some point, you know, and this is me, you know, working in different areas of the business. Shut up, take your shirt on and cash the check. Or take your shirt off and cash the check. Am I right?
I don't know. I've never been a struggling artist like that. But
well, all right. Let's say here you were making a ton of dough like they do if you're on a network show. Making a ton of dough and they say, well, Dan, part of the reason you got hired for this show is you look really good with your shirt off.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, I don't make you take your shirt off because it's late at night and it's just me, and that would be creepy. But if we were in the showcase.
I like how you didn't go at the HR angle that time. No,
that's just me going, you know. I would do it and not fear HR because all I would have to do is parade you in shirtless and go, see? And they'd go, oh, yeah, here, okay.
Gotcha. Quick question before we have
to
break.
Yeah, we got
to break. Did you think of. And this was the last episode I saw, but the twist for the ending of episode two.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what it's going to. What does that mean? And my wife and I, this is really the only thing we discuss. We don't discuss politics or our daughter or anything. But it was, what does that mean? And I have a theory. It means one thing because of the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think I am your plane.
Yeah, it doesn't go the other way because then why would the necklace still be there?
Right.
Right?
Right.
I didn't like the guy that's involved in that scene. Unless it's my theory holds true, then I go, okay, that makes sense. But if it's the other way, oh, no.
Hell to pay.
There's a reckoning coming. Speaking of which, who swears more at work, men, women? What do you think? We'll find out on the other side of the news, which comes up in just a couple minutes here on WGN.